Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Tiger Woods' accident is being ruled an accident. Just that. Just an accident. There's not going to be any charges filed, anything else like that. Do you think that's it in terms of looking into stuff about this accident, Tyler? Do you think curiosity with people will sort of dig deeper into really what caused things?
Oh, I think that people will continue to dig and they will try to find out information. But, hey, man, correct me if you heard it any other way. This feels like it's closed. It's a shut case. The police department saw absolutely no signs of impairment. They didn't even test him when he got to the hospital, so they didn't take a blood test. I mean, at this point, I don't know what you could prove outside of, I guess, maybe cell phone evidence if he was texting and driving, or the black box on the car to see the speed, whatever. I mean, I think people will still pursue it because it's Tiger Woods. But it feels like it's shut, man.
Ray and Kevin.
3 weeks ago, Sean Payton kind of was setting the stage for Drew Brees to retire. Kind of making everybody just kind of, you know, this is don't be surprised type of deal, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said he was expecting an announcement from Drew Brees within a week. Well, that was 3 weeks ago. Nothing has happened.
Sorry, yeah.
What do you think is going on with Drew Brees?
Well, it is interesting because he restructured his contract somehow that would make it very easy for them to do something else. And, like, he reduced the salary to, like, $1 million.
Right.
Like, the veteran minimum, like, the lowest he possibly could. So I think by doing that, it gives Drew more time. So I don't think anything's really happened necessarily aside from the fact Drew Brees just wants more time. He did a deal with the team to get more time. They're really not in any rush. It doesn't really matter at this point. But I think he's really just taking his time. He's really thinking it out. You know what? I'll be honest. I wish, hindsight being 2020, I wish Peyton Manning had this option, and I wish Peyton Manning, in hindsight, came back for a fifth year.
Well, Peyton Manning sort of did do this. I mean, he took his sweet time before he officially retired.
I don't remember
the exact timeline of it, but I don't think it was quicker than this. I think that every week that goes by, it feels more and more likely that Drew Brees wants to play football. He's clearly agonizing with it. Boy, the Saints might be in a really difficult position. If he says he wants to play, what do the Saints do?
You'd have to make him play for a very low amount of money because you're going to have to spend more, I guess, on Jameis Winston, and you've already spent some money on Taysom Hill. But I think what you would do is you would sign Jameis Winston to whatever you were going to sign him to, bring Brees back as low as you can, and then Brees would continue to be the starter. Winston would understand that, and he'd have to wait another year.
Probably can't ask Drew Brees to retire.
I don't think you do, but I think you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I'll get to the answer. If he wants to play, you keep letting him play, right? That's where you're going.
Right.
You'd be stupid not to keep letting him play. Agreed?
Agreed. Ring it.
By the way, you were right. Peyton not retire until March 7th.
There you go, man. I mean, that was taking it down to the wire on free agency. Now, he did do the team a favor in getting it settled before free agency actually opened. But, boy, that's taking it down to the wire.
Right, and they didn't even start talking to Brock until that time.
Right.
Which does make me believe. All right, I'll just fold this into a question. Do you believe on the time that it took Peyton to retire and the lack of commitment to Brock Osweiler back in the day, there was thoughts and maybe hopes that Peyton would play one more year?
No. I think that John Elway wanted him to be done. And I think that, you know, this is just gut. I seriously don't know anything on this. This is just a gut feeling. I actually think that if Peyton felt welcomed, he would have played another year.
Wow, do you think that's what he was waiting for?
I don't know. I mean, that's just my gut. I don't have any inside information on that.
Who wanted Peyton to move on then? If he wanted to be welcome back.
I think John Elway. You know, John Elway was the one that asked him to take the pay cut. John Elway was the one that was willing to risk losing him over asking him to take half of his salary.
Right. Joe Ellis is the one that had to fly down to New Orleans. We learned that in Elway, A Relentless Life, written by Jason Cole. Ring of Kevin.
You know, I'm reading an article on Marcus Mariota and how his trade market is drying up. And my question isn't so much about Marcus Mariota, but more so, man, there was so much talk about all this activity that was going to go on and all these trades. And we have had some big movements. There's no doubt about it. But do you think we're going to see another big quarterback trade?
A trade?
Uh-huh.
You mean like Teddy Bridgewater would have to be traded?
Sure.
Teddy's not a free agent. He'd have to be traded.
Is that how that works when you're under contract?
Mm-hmm. Would you consider a trade with Teddy Bridgewater a big deal?
Sure.
Okay, then yes. Because the Panthers are going to move on from Teddy Bridgewater. So I would expect them to trade Teddy Bridgewater. If that's a big deal, then there you go. So yes, I would expect another big one.
I guess that depends on who and what they trade Teddy Bridgewater for.
Whether it is a big deal.
If the team that's trading for him is trading for him as a starter, or did they just trade for him as a quality backup, right?
You know what? I'll give you another one. Jimmy Garoppolo would be a big trade.
Yeah, that one's difficult, man, because he's got a no-trade clause, and he could make life very difficult on the 49ers if he wanted to.
I'll give you another crazy one. Russell Wilson would be a big trade.
Well, that would be a huge one. But
that'd be gargantuan, yeah.
I mean, I'm asking you if you thought any of them were actually going to happen.
I do. I think something like that is, with one of those guys, something like that is going to happen. Dak Prescott is not a trade. He'll probably be tagged Will Dak Prescott be tagged and traded?
No. I believe that they will actually work out a long-term deal with Dak Prescott. So, I actually think it's kind of over. You know, you might see a deal.
Oh, you do, huh? You think that's
it? You might see a deal for Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think that whatever team trades for Teddy Bridgewater is looking at him as he's the plan. So, I think it's going to be a relatively low-level, not very exciting trade. I think all the major movement's over.
Ring it, Kevin. Would you like to see the Broncos on Hard Knocks? There was speculation they would be the perfect team to be profiled on Hard Knocks. Most years they don't qualify for. You have to meet a certain level of lowliness to even qualify for Hard Knocks. And then you go into a pool and then you can't really turn it down if you're one of those, you know, teams. Would you like to see the Broncos on Hard Knocks?
Well, I mean, of course, as a media member, I would love to see them on Hard Knocks. I mean, are you kidding me? That type of access to what's going on behind the scenes, it would be incredible. I mean, if I'm thinking like as alumni or as like real football operations, it sounds like a disaster. It sounds like you're going to see everything that's wrong with the organization.
Elway didn't want it. Kubiak didn't want it. Fox didn't want it. I do wonder, under a new regime with George Payton, if there's part of him and Joe Ellis that says, you know, it'd be nice to get a little of attention.
Nope.
Or the old
George Payton. George Payton wouldn't think like that. The only person that would think like that would be an owner, because they're thinking about overall value of their team and sales and just merchandise and everything else. George Payton's not worried about that. He's worried about the integrity of his football team.
I hope they do go on Hard Knocks. Every single time, and I've watched every episode of every Hard Knocks, I find myself, and this is even true with the Raiders, knock on wood if you're with me, I have found myself having positive feelings and vibes towards the teams that I have seen on Hard Knocks.
Agreed.
I feel more invested in them.
No doubt. Natural.
I think it would be a great idea if they were to do it, and I hope they do. Ring it, Kevin.
We've talked a lot today about Bradley Chubb and his trade value.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've told me, but I actually don't recall. Where do you stand on Bradley Chubb, and what do you think his trade value is?
I haven't told you. That's a good pickup by you. That's a good question, because I've just been so surprised with everybody else. For me, I haven't really thought about it all that much. I think he's not a first-round value anymore. I think he's a second round value. I don't think you'd, Cecil said you'd be lucky to get a second rounder for him. I don't think you'd be lucky. I think he's a solid second round value. But I don't even think he's a late first round. I think the ACLs are significant. I think it's cool that he made the Pro Bowl. I think that's awesome. But his production is very similar to guys that you would find in the second round right now.
Well, I mean, it was literally the same as Blake Reed. So
where did we get Blake Reed from?
Right. Undrafted. Okay, so that means that if the Houston Texans wanted three first-rounders and Bradley Chubb, it would be no big deal to you.
It would be no big deal to me. Oh, there's nobody on the team that would be a big deal to me when it came to Deshaun Watson. The person that would be the
including
most...
knowing that that includes three first-rounders, though.
Yes, the person that would be the most difficult to replace would be Garrett Bowles. That would be the toughest one to suck up, not Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, but they wouldn't want Garrett because they've got Laremy Tunsil.
I'll give you another tricky one. If it meant keeping Von Miller or moving on from Von Miller, what would you rather have? Von Miller and no Bradley Chubb or Bradley Chubb and no Von Miller?
Well, Von Miller's not tradable right now. So, you know, Bradley Chubb's tradable because he's on a rookie contract. Vaughn's at a point where everybody's looking at him like he's got a target on his back because of the amount of money he's making. Yeah. So I don't think Vaughn's a realistic player to be involved in.
Actually, you're probably right, because if you were getting Deshaun Watson and you had to give him Bradley Chubb, you may have to give up Von Miller anyway for financial reasons no matter what. So you may have a situation with neither Von Miller or Bradley Chubb, but you'd have Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Kind of, right?
Malik Reed, I hope you turn that 8 sacks into 10.
Ring it, Kevin. Wrap it up. Yeah, and by the way, I did hear on the Zoakley show, because they were kind of talking about this sort of thing. It means that you would have to, they were saying something we were saying yesterday, you would have to in the third and fourth round for the next couple years, you know, you'd have to be really good in the draft in the third and fourth round. You'd have to... You know, hopefully you knock on wood if you're with me and you find guys that you would normally get in the first or second round. Not easy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not overly stressed by it because I'm looking at the long term, man. This is a long term deal. So I recognize the fact that this is going to make life very difficult for the next 2 to 3 years, but then I'm going to have 7 years to compete. So sure. I mean, if you want to, I guess either way, you still have to be good in the third, fourth rounds.
Right.
But it's really only of tremendous importance if you're trying to compete right away.
Correct. So we're all right then. It would stink to let go of Bradley Chubb.
But
we'd have to keep it real. He's not, you know, changing the face of the game. He's not wrecking games. He's a good, solid player. And hopefully you could find a good, solid player to replace him in the third or fourth round.
Okay, I say that, and I stand by that from my point of view, or from the Broncos' point of view, that I don't care if it sets us back for the next 2 to 3 years. But can you sell that to Deshaun Watson? And does it matter if Deshaun Watson looks at it and he says, well, you're not going to compete for the next 2 to 3 years, so I'm not interested.
That's a great point.
I mean, I don't care. What do I care?
No,
I got Deshaun Watson.
It's why the Dolphins are, it's hard for me to imagine if the Dolphins get serious and get in this that, you know, they don't win it.
It's a no-brainer.
Right. I don't know how the Panthers or Broncos could compete with the situation that exists right now in Miami. Never mind, too, that there's no state income tax and he really would make more money.
I mean, in every literal sense, Miami is the best option. They've got two first rounders this year. They've got multiple first rounders upcoming. They've got the ammunition. They're a good football team. If Deshaun Watson went there, he would not only make more money,
right,
but he would be on a team that is ready to compete right now.
Right now.
And he gets to live in Miami as a young man. Is he married? I don't know.
Like, he'll make the Broncos better. He'll make the Dolphins a Super Bowl contender next year. Yeah, that sucks.
Well, we just got to hope that Miami's in on Tua. And they don't want to forego
their immediate
for the future.
Well, that's right. And you got to hope that they're so much in on Tua that they say, oh, man, it'd be great to have Deshaun. But we do like Tua. And why would we give up these picks that we're going to make a good team, a championship team?
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm a Dolphins fan, I would have some serious reservations because I may look at the situation the Dolphins are in right now and think, we can win a Super Bowl next year.
Not me. They're not winning a Super Bowl with Tua. They'll be competitive next year. You know, they'll be competing. They'll probably be in the playoffs, but they're not going to be real contenders.
What about building a team?
Yeah, that's important. Let's hope that they value that a lot.
Did you see the deal with Ben Roethlisberger? He's talking to the Rooneys about...
So what's the latest? I've seen they've gone back and forth. Big Ben wants to play. He was making way too much money. Steelers are in cap hell. What's the latest?
They're talking about renegotiating his deal. Like, it's an open conversation. You know, like, the Vaughn stuff is, oh, my gosh, can't talk about it. Well, in Pittsburgh, everybody knows they're talking about it. He's acknowledging they're talking about it.
Well, he knows that he's done unless he renegotiates big time.
He does. You know... The Steelers are in actually a very sticky situation. They're in cap hell, like you said. They have a late first-round draft pick. The Mason Rudolph didn't work out for them as their second-round quarterback they took in 2018. They're kind of stuck.
Which is why you're going to owe me a coffee, because I bet that Big Ben would be the quarterback of the Steelers next year for all those reasons you just pointed out.
All right, I'll pay up. I think the dude's just done. I think they're really in a bad situation.
You said that about Philip Rivers, and you said that about Tom Brady.
I know. Well, I saw the leg sleeve on Tom Brady. How could he be? Meanwhile, the reports on Tom Brady, you're seeing Bruce Arians saying, we'd sign him through 2023.
Jeez. Well, why wouldn't you?
I don't know why you wouldn't. You would. Why wouldn't you? And the one thing, and you talked about Drew Brees, and we mentioned Peyton Manning, and even with Roethlisberger, who's not the same guy. I'm telling you, Tyler, when you find one of these all-time dudes, you really should just keep them, I mean, seriously, until all the wheels fall off.
Yes, as long as their contract is not prohibitive if they fall off a cliff, which is where the Steelers are right now with Big Ben, and that's why they've got a messy situation, and which is why the Buccaneers, of course they would love to have Tom Brady for the next 5 years, but you got to make sure that you've gotten out on that contract, because when you go quick. Drew Brees went quick this year. I didn't think Drew Brees was going to fall off a cliff this year, but he did.
We need to give props to Tim Patrick. Now, we said yesterday, we love the fact that when Pro Football Focus put out the least drop ball receivers in the league, Tim Patrick trolled them by saying, can't wait to see my name on the list because it's zero.
Right.
Well, good for Timmy Pats, Pro Football Focus.
They have made right.
They put out a tweet today and said for receivers that have had 70 targets or more with zero drops, it's two guys.
Right.
Tim Patrick and Larry Fitzgerald.
That's pretty good company to be in for Tim Patrick.
How about that?
Right. Shows you why Larry Fitzgerald is still playing at 100 years old, by the way.
No doubt. Don't let him retire.
Throw him the ball. He'll catch it.
Just keep going. Don't retire. But good for Tim Patrick, man. That's a pretty quality troll right there.
Hey, no doubt about it. That's some power. That's a power move.
You could absolutely make the argument the tweet and stats he was lumped in was way better than, you know, the other ones. This is a much more exclusive class with a Hall of Famer. Way to go, Tim Patrick. I thought that was a cool moment.
Yeah, for sure. Nice work. I didn't see Jerry Judy's name on that list.
They haven't done the other version of it.
Oh, like the bad version?
Sure, the nerds will come up with that at some point.
Hmm. Do you think there's a wide receiver in the NFL that had a higher drop rate than Jerry Jeudy this year?
We can look that up. I think the answer is no. I think he won that, and I think Hamler is right behind him. Kevin?
Hamler.
Am I right on that?
Hamler had the highest percentage of drops in NCAA his final year at Penn.
Well, he's probably disappointed.
Not Penn. At
Penn State.
Thank you.
He's probably disappointed he missed out on a back-to-back championship on that because he was overtaken by his teammates.
Dang you, Jerry Jeudy.
All right.
That was my title to have.
Yeah, Kevin's looking it up, but I'm pretty sure Jeudy was number one in that department, and Hamler wasn't far behind him. Now, Hamler didn't have as many targets, and he was hurt and all that, but still, Hamler more or less...
Well, draw percentage accounts for your targets, so... You know, that percentage won't change. It's based off your targets.
Good point. And Hamler certainly had enough targets to say whether or not that's a fair evaluation. You know, I'm not disappointed in KJ Hamler, though. That's exactly, Tyler, who he was in college. And, you know, okay, here you go.
T-Mac, turns out that this is sort of who Jerry Jeudy was his final year at Alabama as well.
Is that right?
It wasn't as bad as KJ Hamler, but he had a handful of drops his final year there.
He did, Jeudy did, prop himself up today on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. He's lifting weights. Nice. Wasn't a video.
Is it Mark Schlereth style? Like, 225? Like, just repping them out or what?
They were not, I can't say it. You can say it, but I'm not allowed to say it.
I'm not saying anything.
What do you want? Do you want to talk about the quality of reps or not?
No, I could only do half of Mark's half reps.
Thank you. Save that. Tomorrow. I can only do half of Mark's half reps. Richie, that should be quoted. There should be a story about it and perhaps a promo.
Perfect.
Jeudy's photos were him lifting weights with like a plate and his no shirt.
I'd rather see him like on a jugs machine.
Let me just say this about Jerry Jeudy. If I looked like Jerry Jeudy, I wouldn't own a shirt. First of all, so props to you, Jerry. You're yoked. So when the ball goes right through your hand, you can just flex, pick it up. Flex. Everybody will be very impressed. You wanted some attention today.
I did?
Yeah, you wanted.
No,
some attention.
Who me?
Yeah, you wanted some attention. I'll fill everybody in on what it is next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
You know, I've been staring at it all day, so what's the deal with wearing the Super Bowl ring today? What's going on?
What, this big old shiny thing right here? What, this thing stands out? What do you mean?
It sure does. It looks great.
This thing that's like glistening all over the place. I just get it underneath the bright lights.
That's impressive.
It lights up the entire room. This little thing right here.
That little thing right there. What's the occasion?
You know, I literally never wear this thing. I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many times you've seen me with it on.
The thing about the Super Bowl rings, they are stunningly large.
Right.
You know, kind of in a preposterous sort of manner.
Well, it literally is like in the way. If you were to wear it on a day-to-day basis, and I do have a buddy that wears it every single day of his life. Yes, you know him. I'll tell you later.
All right.
The only reason I got this on today is because I've been going to the same barber every day or every year, every month for like the last 3 years.
Okay.
Wow, that did not come out easy. Mm-hmm. He's great dude, and he's just always wanted to see it. So I finally brought it in for him. I got my hair cut today. I look good. I know. Thank you.
You do.
And
we'll get to that in a second.
I brought it in for him to see.
And you just feel like continuing to wear it?
Well, no. I mean, I just figured you were going to say something dumb today, and so I'd have it to just kind of put an imprint on your forehead and
really,
you know, just keep you in check.
I don't think you could get through the plexiglass unless you got magical powers with that ring.
Trust me, this thing can get through the plexiglass.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it is a cool. I mean,
it's got like
cool
laser beam powers on it. All you got to do is just turn it on.
It is so big though. I mean, it is kind of preposterous. Just as a as cool as it is, and it is beyond cool, it's just not very practical, I guess, is the only thing.
No. I mean, I wear it.
You got a
for...
buddy that actually wears, and I don't want to know the name, but you actually have on a regular basis, like
I do,
like
yeah.
keys,
every single
wallets.
Day of his life, like but like goes home, goes to bed, puts it on the nightstand, wakes up, puts it back on, wears it the rest of the day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
mean, I always thought that if I ever got one of these, that I would do that.
No.
But the size of it is like you can't put your hand in the pocket, right?
And yeah. No, I always thought that
it's just
most...
the intent, like you go to the gas station and you're going to have 15 people stopping you.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, I got to say.
You know, I mean, I'm so famous that I don't need anybody else
me. I was telling my wife, one of the things I love about Tyler is Tyler really is like a man of the people. and you proved it on Valentine's Day by waiting in line at the In and Out.
Right.
I mean, talk about a regular guy thing to do. And of course you stand out because you're just tall, like any tall person would stand
right.
out at 6'8".
I did get stopped multiple times that day by people.
Did you really?
Yep.
Well, I was wondering if that happened because you were all bundled up and everybody wears a mask these days. It was really cold that day anyway.
Right.
So, well, who did recognize you?
Well, you know, there were two people that were just like, man, you're like really tall.
Yeah.
What do you, did you play sports? Did
okay.
you play basketball, right? And then as I was talking to one of them, somebody behind me was like, you don't know who that is? That's Tyler Plumbus.
Well, that is so funny. So the person behind you, and how long were you in that line?
They did not, like, stop me. The person that actually knew who I was. But, yeah.
But they had been behind you for probably 45 minutes.
Correct, yeah.
Right. Does anybody else see the comparison I'm making here? I mean, you're just standing out. You won a Super Bowl. You're wearing a ring. And a couple years later, you're standing with a bunch of ding-dongs waiting for animal fries.
Right, yeah.
You've got to have a certain amount of humbleness to be able to, you know, go through that.
Well, life comes at you quick, D-Mac.
Because that is...
You know, I never thought that I would be waiting in line for 40 minutes in
40-degree weather. Here's the problem, though. You have been recognized by the person behind you.
Yeah.
Were you ordering your food right then and there?
No, I stood in line for another 30 minutes.
So now you got to stand there, and you know the person behind you knows who you are, too.
Right.
And it's like, now what do I do?
Well, see, and that, now what happened is that person, like, really wanted to talk to me, but they're being very respectful.
I get it.
They did the best they could, but once that can of worms
now
got opened up.
Now you're now, best friends.
Now I was talking to that person for the next 20, 25 minutes.
Which can be fine.
Sure.
It can be fine, but it can also feel like now I got to do a talk show.
Yeah.
Now I got to entertain this
I'm
person.
I'm going to tell you right now, though, if you ever notice me and I'm out with my kids, in particular my son,
yeah.
stop me because it makes his day every single time that
You're
it happens.
You're kidding me.
Every single time somebody stops me when I'm
he
with my son,
it.
He thinks it's like the coolest thing that's ever happened. So
wow.
you have 100% permission to stop me anytime you see me with my son.
Okay.
Or any other time.
I'll tell you this. My family freaking hates it. And it's to the degree where, it's not like I get stopped. Well, I don't get stopped anywhere because I don't see anybody now. But we call them, hey, D-Max, when, you know, you're at someone and it's just like, hey, D-Mac. And my family doesn't think it's cool at all. It's different.
Well, keep in mind that my son, you know, he's young enough that he still thinks that I'm cool.
How does your wife feel?
I'll tell you, like, my son's favorite story of all time.
Go ahead.
So I took him out to Seattle last season, not this year, but the season before for alumni weekend. And he's a huge Seahawks fan because he was born when I was playing there. And so he got to meet Coach Carroll, got to go to practice, be at the facility, got to go down at halftime. To be on the sideline at the actual game. Well, when I got to the stadium, there was a little pre-party for a bunch of alumni. And when I got to the stadium, there was a guy that was standing there with a 8x12 of me when I was playing in Seattle. And nobody knew that I was coming. It's not like I announced that I was going.
Right.
And this guy stops me, and my son's with me, and he says, I've waited every single year at alumni weekend to try to find you.
Insane.
And here we are 10 years later. I finally get your autograph. I've carried this for 9 straight years to get your autograph.
Insane.
And my son thinks that that is the greatest story of all time.
Well, that is actually a great story. It's a little psycho, to be honest with you.
A little bit, yeah.
Was it a Beastquake picture?
No, it was just a photo. Yeah.
Wasn't even part of the Beastquake.
Yeah.
That guy is a little psycho.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, fans are fan. All right. Talk to me. All right, quickly. How does your wife feel about those moments?
A little bit of creepy moment happened yesterday, actually, with my wife. It turns out that this is a guy that I went to high school with, so it's not as creepy as it sounds.
Okay.
But I got a tweet from yesterday from somebody that sent a photo of the back of my head's wife taking a photo of my son at the airport on her way to the Super Bowl, and sent me this photo yesterday, so waits 5 years to send this to me.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent it to my wife, and she's like, that is just bizarre. And I'm like, no, listen, it's not a big deal. Like, he actually knows me. I played with him. He was a teammate of mine in high school.
Okay.
But to her, that was very, very creepy.
No, I gotta agree with your wife. I don't care if you played high school football. It's still...
He's a great dude. Great dude.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A little bit creepy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The haircut,
yeah.
You went low.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and high at the same time.
Ragnar's coming back.
Right. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Ragnar coming back.
Yeah, well, you know, the length's starting to get decent up top
it
again.
It is.
You know, I brought it up real high and tight. I mean, all the way to the top.
It is.
I've got barely, like, no fade. This is just skin all the way to the top. Beard's at a respectable length. I did get it trimmed up today a little bit. Just
I
get
did,
it shaped
but
up.
But still long.
Right? It's
still
at a pretty respectable length.
Yeah.
Give me another 2 months or so, and Ragnar's back.
You look scary
as
hell.
Matter
can
of
I
fact,
just say it? Can I just say this is like as intimidating as you've looked in a long time?
Perfect. Perfect.
You,
I love it.
Are you going for that? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, because every day you tick me off, and I just want you to be reminded of my power. But by the way, just whenever you finally decide to pay up on your tattoo bet,
just
invite me. I'll come along with you, and I'm going to get, you know, a big old tribal tattoo on the
you
side of the head.
You are not.
Right? Yeah.
Are you being serious?
No.
That's a fascinating thing to get the tattoo on the side of the head that you could grow hair over. But then if your hair all falls out, you're stuck with the tribal tattoo on the side.
I do tend to have a problem with that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, by the way, you scare me every day. The size difference between the two of us is preposterous. I'm reminded of it on a regular basis, so don't think that I'm not physically threatened.
Good.
It's just that I just put faith in the system.
Perfect.
As I put faith in James Marilat. Now, we are on opposite sides of a coin. We wrote about it on DenverFan.com, and we hashed it out. You'll hear it next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, our guy James Marilat from DenverFan.com, and I have two different viewpoints on something, on an opinion that you kind of got lumped into a little bit, maybe unfairly, and he joined us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, and we hashed it all out.
I got the first one for James.
All right, I just want to point out he wrote an opposing opinion on this, although he and I never really talked about it, so they both kind of came out at the same time, even though we didn't talk about it ahead of time.
All right, well, go ahead, because I'm changing subjects, so go ahead.
All right, so I just wanted to start there with James. You heard what I just said. You offered a differing opinion.
Yeah. Now, my opinion on Cam, I think he's right. There aren't 32 quarterbacks that are better than him. But that doesn't mean he should be a starter in the league because
He would be a star? I never said he would be a starter.
No, I know. But that was the basis of my piece, was addressing him saying, hey, there's not 32 quarterbacks better, and I should, you know, basically saying he should be a starter. Because, look, sometimes if you're 4-12, let's take the Broncos. If you're 5-11... Cam Newton's not good enough to have made this team a playoff team this past year, right? He's not going to add 6 wins, which is what it would have taken. All Cam Newton would have done, maybe, is win a couple of more games, which just means instead of picking at number 9, you're picking at number 15 or 16. To me, there's no benefit in that. I actually think it's taking a step backwards. So sometimes in the NFL, you're better off being bad than being mediocre. So if you have a young quarterback, if you're a team that's just bad and you're better off losing and stockpiling picks, Cam Newton doesn't make any sense, even if he's better than who you have. To some extent, I think the Broncos are in that category. They need to find out if it is Drew Lock next year. They needed to find it out this year, and unfortunately they didn't. They need to find out if he's the guy. Cam just comes in here and is someone that, you know, Vic Fangio would be tempted to go to and to turn to and to you know, use in a pinch. And he's glorified Tim Tebow at this point. He threw 8 touchdowns in 15 games. He runs for more than he throws. I don't think he helps this team.
So really quick, really quick. Would you rather have Andy Dalton than Cam Newton in that role?
Boy, I would probably rather have Cam Newton, but my choice would be neither. My choice would be neither.
Well, who's your guy then, James?
I'm with Stokely and Zach. I think Alex Smith is a really good fit.
Oh, my God.
I like the way he handled the Patrick Mahomes situation. And you don't want a quarterback who's going to be – that Fangio's going to be tempted to play for six, seven, 8 weeks.
That's what we got with Blake Bortles and Jeff Driscoll. Hold on. We just
I know.
Did that.
We need a quarterback that's capable of playing six or seven,
right,
8 weeks.
I mean,
why?
You know, why – But did you not just watch what happened last year? I mean, seriously, Carson Wentz was the only quarterback that had a worse year than our guy.
I know, but so if they'd have turned to Cam Newton last year instead of Driscoll against the Bucs and instead of Rippon against the Jets, which they won that game, so they went 1-1. They weren't going to have beaten the Super Bowl champs with Cam Newton. So fine, let's say they do. Now they're 6-10, and he benches, you know, Drew Lock after the four picks against the Raiders, and Cam wins a game or two. Who cares? Now they're picking 15-16 again. I don't think they're better off.
It's accountability, and I do believe in a football team. It's important to have accountability. When a player isn't playing well, you find somebody to replace him. I have a trivia question for you, though, James.
Okay.
What do Aaron Rodgers, John Elway, Montana, Manning, Marino, Favre, Aikman, Breeze, Big Ben, and Jim Kelly all have in common?
They probably all had seasons where they lost double digits in terms of games. That would be my guess.
They all had losing seasons.
Yeah.
Every last one of them.
Most of them played when I was a kid and I'm old.
Okay. All right. Sure. So you're holding Deshaun Watson's 4-12 record against them because why?
Well,
every all time great except for Tom Brady, he's literally the only exception that has never had a losing season. And we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson like he's not worth it because he had a 4-12 record.
No, that's not what I said. I didn't say he's bad because he's 4-12, but I said we can't just dismiss it. You can't just act like it didn't happen. That's being very selective in terms of, you know, what data we will use for one guy but not use for the other guy. So my point with the 4-12 is it's a different NFL now, right? It's more of a step in and be instantly successful. Lamar Jackson won an MVP in year two. Patrick Mahomes won an MVP in year two. A Super Bowl in year three. Russell Wilson's never had a losing season. You know, the day and age of Peyton Manning going 3-13 as a rookie or Troy Aikman going 1-15 as a rookie, man, that was 1989. My point was it's a different game. There are more guys now that are instant success who step right in and are good and win a lot of games.
Hold on. That's just not true because Deshaun Watson absolutely won right out the gates in his first couple of years.
And he got credit
dominated.
For that. So
if you're going to say we can't toss it away, well, how do you toss away the fact that he lost a top five receiver that was traded away? He had absolutely no run support. Second worst rushing offense in the NFL. He had no offensive line help, was sacked 49 times. He dealt with a coaching change midseason, all the while leading the NFL in passing yards, completing over 70% of his passes, and coming just shy of a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio. Thank you, Richie.
Okay. And all those things are true, but the fact of the matter is great quarterbacks lift their team to greater heights. Peyton Manning came in here in 2012. The Broncos were 8-8 the year before. By all rights, they should have been 4-12. I mean, Tebow pulled games out of his hat at the end. I mean, they were a bad football team. They didn't make wholesale changes that year. And they went, 12-4? They won 11 straight games. The major change, the major difference was the quarterback. That doesn't mean you can't have a down year. But if Lamar Jackson goes 4-12 this year, people aren't going to start to question him. Or if Patrick Mahomes goes 4-12, that seems inconceivable. Now, yeah, part of that is Bill O'Brien is not the coach that Andy Reid is and John Harbaugh and things like that. I understand that. Those two guys are in better situations. All I'm saying is we can't totally ignore that 4-12 happened. I think to not even act like that should be a factor in it. Is questionable to me. Every other quarterback gets held accountable for the record of this team. For whatever reasons, Deshaun Watson is gets to play by a different set of rules because Bill O'Brien's an idiot and traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and J.J. Watt's not that. I mean, it sounds like Vic Fangio excuses. You got a whole list of them.
All right, so let's make it very, very clear. Do you want Deshaun Watson, yes or no?
Yes.
And at what price are you willing to go get Deshaun Watson?
I would do the deal the Pro Football Focus had this week where it was three ones and two twos. I would do that in a heartbeat.
So you're arguing just to argue.
No, I mean, no, no. What I'm arguing is when you hear people say, "Hey, it's going to take a 7x type of a deal," right? And wasn't that what Peter King said? It's going to be it's going to be seven times that Herschel Walker type of deal.
7-1
I'm not doing that. Like at some point,
hold
there's
on,
a
though.
Price.
So you do 3 firsts, 2 seconds. Would you throw in Bradley Chubb
instead of one of those picks? Yeah.
No. In addition to one, that's the breaking point.
Yeah. I think 5 guys, 5 premium picks, 5 players who should be starters here for, 5 to 10 years, depending on how they pan out?
Thank you, James. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. See you.
James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Read him at DenverFan.com. Heck, read me on DenverFan.com. Heck, read Kevin Kistner. Read Tyler Palumbis. I mean, who's not writing for DenverFan.com, Tyler?
Bunch of smart dudes around here.
I tell you what. And speaking of smart dudes, does it get brainier than Nick and Cecil? Judge for yourself, coming up next.